Wisdom that heavens give, the wisdom that man have no say in it. Glory to Jesus. So it's a month of wisdom and of many wonders. Hallelujah. I pray that at the end of the month, you'll be so wise in everything that you do. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. It's a special service. I pray that we all stick around and we end the service the best of ways. Month of wisdom and of many wonders. I am so fortunate and we are so blessed to begin our month with a continuation of what we started last month. That is our Kings and Queens series. Glory to Jesus. We want to begin shortly. We want to pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this morning, this afternoon, this evening. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your understanding. We pray that be king and grant me utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to Jesus. We are continuing our... My God. Kings and Queens series. So, we learned from our previous series that life is for observers and life is a mystery we must unfold. If you don't understand life and you cannot demystify life, you cannot be able to do well here in this life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Life is for observers. Life is for observers. We quoted Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 7. The Bible says, I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. And we said that anytime that you see an anomaly in the Bible, it means that there is some forfeited knowledge. Some forfeited knowledge, and there is a growing ignorance. And the growing ignorance has become a blockade. How can princes be walking on foot and then slaves be walking on horseback? It is not normal. It means that ignorance is at its peak. Hallelujah. I pray that at the end of this Kings and Queens series, every ignorance will be shattered. Every ignorance will be brought down. Amen. And we receive the illumination of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And our life will never be the same. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. We also said something. Thank you. We also said something about the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. We said that when you meet the person of Jesus, you are bound to heaven. You are bound for eternity. But the issue is that a lot of people encounter the person of Jesus and forfeit the principles of Jesus. Whenever you forfeit the principles of Jesus, it means that you are moving into ignorance, and it means that you can make heaven all right, you can be eternity bound all right, but presently on this earth you will not do well. Hallelujah. And we said that life is for observers, people who observe. Eat the fruit of life. You must be able to observe a lot of things. And when you check through the Bible is full of models, and models are important, and the Bible is full of them. And we said that the model that we are going to learn from in this our series will be kings and queens. Will be what? Kings and queens. So if you miss the part one and the part two of Kings and Queens, after here you can have them on our page. You just need to go back and you listen for free. The Lord bless you. So we dealt with kings. We dealt with the scarcity of kings, of true kings. We dealt with the abdicated kings. We dealt with the anointing of kings, the crowning of kings, and the blessings of kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today we are going to continue from somewhere. And we are going to continue from the dominion of kings. Dominion of kings. My God. Dominion of kings. My God. You know, one thing is peculiar with kings and with the king's reign. One thing is very, very peculiar with kings and the king's reign. And that which is peculiar with kings and their reign is dominion. Dominion means to tread down, to subjugate, to subdue, to rule, to prevail against, to reign, to take possession. So if you are able to take possession, if you are able to subdue, to rule, to subjugate, and to prevail against, then you have taken dominion. And you know that the spirit of dominion is one of the most powerful forces that is found among kings. The spirit of dominion. Every king wants to dominate. Kings want to dominate. Kings want to subdue. Kings want to hold down territories. And it is very, very pivotal. It's very key in every king. You will find in every king the tendency and the urge to dominate. You know that dominion is not a bad thing anyway. To dominate is not a bad thing anyway. But dominating in territories that is not yours is bad. To dominate is not a bad thing, but dominating in a territory that is not yours is. Hallelujah. So every king as seen throughout scripture had a particular terrain and a territory that they function. And I've described why and who a king is. So based on a knowledge of who a king is, let me do a recap. To be a king does not mean to be crowned with. No. We said that you can be a king in your place, in your atmosphere. You can be a king in your workplace. You can be a king in church. You can be a king in. So to your ability to rule in these places makes you king. So we know that the spirit of dominion is working in every king. So if you dominate a wrong territory, then it is not good. But to dominate in the place that God has given you is very, very good. Hallelujah. Dominating in the place that God has given you is very, very good. When God created Adam and Eve, God gave them a task. And the task that God gave them is to subdue and to dominate the earth.
My God.
The task that God gave man is to dominate and to subdue the earth. So dominion itself is not good, but over possessiveness and dominating territories which it does not belong to you is very bad. Hallelujah. And we've learned something that from our previous series, that kings are called to rule, and they are called to rule in certain domains and not all domains.
My God.
So you cannot be a king and you are dominating in everywhere. No, but as a king, you are called to rule in a particular, a defined space. A defined place. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. As we end this series, may God show you where you must dominate. And may you dominate. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, the ability for you to dominate a place for God is very key. Because if you don't dominate, there will be people who dominate. And they would enforce the will of their masters at that place.
My God.
That is why Christians need to dominate.
Hallelujah.
That is why Christians need to dominate.
I will dominate.
Say, I will dominate.
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 In the name
of Jesus.
I will dominate.
I will dominate.
I will dominate.
In the name
of Jesus.
Jesus.
So dominate. Dominate. It's not a bad thing. Don't let somebody lie to you that to dominate is no, it's not about it. The Bible makes us understand that after King David received his divine covenant, that is, after King David received the kingly anointing, he expanded his kingdom in all directions, conquering lands that the Joshua generation could not possess. So when David became king, there was territory that belonged to David, and there were territories that God has defined in the space of their influence. That the Joshua generation could not possess. But the Bible made us understand that David was able to expand and dominate and conquer where even the Joshua generation could not possess. Let me pray for somebody. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Whatever belonged to you, whatever belonged to your fathers, that they could not dominate, that they could not possess, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May you possess them in the name of Jesus. May you possess them in the name of Jesus. May you possess them in the name of Jesus. What belonged to your mother, what belonged to your father, what belonged to your great grandfathers, and they could not dominate and possess. The Bible says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May you dominate. May you possess your possessions in the name of Jesus. You know, dominion, let's learn about dominion and spheres of influence.
Dominion.
And spheres of influence. Kings may have different spheres of influence. You know, kings may have different spheres of influence. And this spheres of influence is an orchestration of God. And it ends with man's effort, choices, and wisdom. God orchestrates your sphere of influence. But the continuity is dependent on you, the man, your efforts, your choices, and your wisdom. Hello?
Hi.
Are we here? What I'm trying to say that is that God decides and God orchestrates your sphere of influence. But the issue is that it ends with your ability. It ends with your efforts. It ends with your choices. And it ends in your wisdom. So if God orchestrates and if God gives you a very greater portion, but you don't place in much effort and you make the wrong choice and you're not wise, even though God has given you a sphere of influence, you will lose that place. You will lose that dominion. You will lose it because you were not wise. You made the wrong choices and you did not place in much work or effort. There are a lot of people that God gave them a larger sphere of influence, but because they were not wise and their choices were wrong and they did not place in much ability and effort, they lost their sphere of influence as they go by. They lost their sphere of influence as they go by. I pray for you that you don't lose your sphere of influence. I pray for you that you don't lose your sphere of influence in the name of Jesus. So some kings have smaller sphere of influence. Others have larger and greater sphere of influence. Some kings, naturally, they have larger sphere of influence. And others have very minute and small sphere of influence. And this is based on a lot of things. It is based on a lot of factors. Their inheritance, their length of reign, their achievement. Your inheritance defines your sphere of influence. Your length of reign determines your sphere of influence. Your achievement will determine your sphere of influence. Your fame will determine your sphere of influence. Your geographical location also determines your sphere of influence. I pray that through inheritance, may you have the sphere of influence that belongs to you. I pray that you reign for long. Amen. That your sphere of influence will spread. I pray that you make greater achievements where God has called you. That your sphere of influence would increase. The Bible says that Jesus descended from the mountain, and the Bible says fame of him spread across and spread abroad. Because fame of Jesus spread abroad, the gospel also spread. I pray that your fame will also spread. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The issue is that King Solomon did have a very large sphere of influence because his predecessor, his progenitor, left wealth and territories for him.
My
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The issue is that Solomon had a great sphere of influence. Why? King Solomon had a great sphere of influence. Why? Because David, who is his progenitor, David, who is his predecessor, left a great inheritance, great wealth, great honor for him.
My God.
Do you know something? I am praying for somebody that before you die, you will leave inheritance for your children and your children's children in the name of Jesus. That is why in life, people begin with 50. Some begin with 5. Some begin with negative. There are people that when they were given birth to, they were given birth to them in debt. So that one, you are in negative. To some, there was no debt. There was nothing. So you are zero.
My Lord.
To some, their parents have done everything. They just need to walk in. They have 90%, 80%, 50%. But even if the person who is with 50% do not take care and do not place in much wealth and do not place in much choices, and wealth and effort, the person will lose their sphere of influence.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same thing happened to King Solomon. Solomon had great wealth and great honor. He had great inheritance. But it depended on himself to maintain such a sphere of godly influence. It depended on Solomon himself to maintain such a sphere of godly influence. Regrettably, Solomon's choice did not help him realize the future he should have had. Regrettably, Solomon, who was supposed to expand that sphere of influence the more, the Bible makes us understand that Solomon's choice for women caused his downfall. And Solomon died in a fetish priest. Kings and queens. Regrettably, Solomon's choice for women made him lose that sphere of influence. Kings and queens. Kings and queens.
My God, what a message.
Can I go deeper in the sphere of influence?
Yes, yes.
You know something? There are times that you have a small sphere of influence. But if you are wise, you can move your sphere of influence into a very great one. Your little sphere into a very great one. If you are wise. If you are wise. If you are wise.
If you are wise.
Kings with limited sphere of influence can bond with kings with greater sphere of influence to be able to make impact. Similarly, if you're having little sphere of influence, you can coalesce, you can come together, right?
Sure.
And make greater impact.
My God.
Let me give you an example. When you read Joshua chapter 9, you realize that there were people who were called Gibeonites. The Bible said Gibeonites were a small group of people. They lived close to the Israelites. But they saw that the Israelites were so much of greatness that they could not resist them. So what they did was that the Bible said they just made themselves like they are coming from a very far city, and they came and then they bonded to the Israelites so that the Israelites could not destroy them. Even though they deceived them, they were not wiped out like the other kings and the other territories. They saw that their sphere of influence was not that great. So they bonded with people who were having great sphere of influence.
Wisdom.
It means that if you are little,
my God,
you can bond with people who are great.
My God.
and you'll be great. Sometimes, to be your best, this is your best, not to be the best, to be you, your best, you must be with the best. Don't always see the best as a competition. If you are always seeing the best as a competition, you'll not go far. If you are always seeing the best as a competition, you'll not go far. But there are times you know that, oh, you want to be you, your best, your own best. The only thing that you can do is to know who is best. As you know who is best, you get close to who is best. And as you are close to who is best, gradually, you'll be able to move into your best. So there are times to be your best, you must be with the best. If you see the best as a competition, you will not make it in life. You will die early. Demons understand this principle I'm talking about. If you read Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45, when Jesus was, you know, the Bible read, let me read for you. It says that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He then said, I'll return to my house from whence I come out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Then they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. The principle here is that even demons, when they realize that this fight has been stronger than me, you have cast me out and I can't dominate in that place, demons go back and they go and find other stronger seven demons, more wicked demons, and they will come to the same place that they were cast out. Demons understand networking. Demons understand networking. Demons understand that there are times to be the best, you must know to be your best, you must know the best. Demons understand that there are times to possess your place, you must be affiliated with the best. Who is stronger in your sphere? Who can you go and call back? You are always seeing people who are in your sphere as competition. You can't dominate. You can't dominate. You can't dominate. You know, if someone is good than you, you must know. It is not a competition. There are times if someone is good than you, accept, you know, this thing is good than me. You must know if someone is good, he's good. Demons, so demons went back and they said, I am going to look for. So the demons already have seven other demons who are stronger in his there already. So as it is moving, it's not that one day when I encounter trouble. When I encounter trouble, I'll go and call seven other demons to come and fight for me. So don't be always pleased. When you are the best, though, you must get someone that must cover you up. I pray for godly network for you. If demons can use godly network, then you should also do so. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you. If demons understand godly networking, then you must also have stronger people in your possession. Yes, to dominate, to have great sphere of influence, you need them. I pray for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. May you have them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Yes, amen. Amen. For us to take the world by surprise as kings and queens that God has destined us, that we are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation, then we must understand the principle of networking. Smaller kings contacting more stronger kings, or smaller kings joining forces together to create a synergy effect. In chemistry, there is something we call synergistic effect. Synergistic effect is when one chemical can cause this damage. So if this chemical can cause, let's say, 5 degrees of damage,
The other chemical will also cause another degree of damage, 5 degrees. But when you combine these two chemicals together, instead of them to make 10 degree of damage, they rather make 20 degree of damage. It is called synergy effect. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May you understand negative, positive networking in the name of Jesus. May you understand positive networking in the name of Jesus. Maybe you don't understand chemistry, which I know 90% of people here don't understand. Actually, 98% don't understand. Let me explain. The Bible says, I have a program, Papa, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that for one shall put 1,000 to plight, and two will put 10,000. So it means that one should have placed 1,000, two should have placed what? 2,000. But when they combine their forces, they place 10,000. That is called synergy effect.
My God.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ebi antiase, ti wose metiase. Eya ye program papa. Onya me shira osa. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
My God, my God.
Today we learn stuff. Oh.
My God.
We are going to learn.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there are efforts you can do by your own. There are things you can do by your own. If the next generation of believers is seeking to expand their sphere of influence in our area, our respective field, we must learn to use our numbers and our strength. We must learn to use our numbers and our strength. God is bringing kings together in this generation.
Amen.
To accelerate the work of his kingdom.
Yes.
And to fulfill his larger purpose for the world.
Amen.
I pray that you find yourself in such a circle.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that you find yourself in such a circle.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to dominate.
My God, La Pataya.
You see, I have learned something about Muslims. That they, when they go to a place, they start thinking of how to dominate a region. They start to dominate. They bring other people together. They bring themselves together so that they can dominate. Even demons, they understand this. Do you remember legions?
My God.
The Bible says more than 6,000. Legions means more than 6,000 live in the madman of Gadara. Today, two Christians, two pastors cannot even live in one locality because they will be fighting themselves. Instead of them to dominate that place, they will be fighting themselves. But demons, more than 6,000 was in one man.
My God.
Two pastors cannot live in the same locality.
Jesus.
If you are not dominating, we don't have a future.
My God.
If you don't dominate in politics, only liars will be there, perpetuating hate and tribalism and racism. If you don't dominate.
My God.
If you don't dominate in our entertainment industry, they will be showing only naked pictures. And our case will have no future.
Lord, have mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Now, even toothpick, when they are advertising toothpick, it is a naked woman who should advertise toothpick.
My God.
A clear indication that Christians have not dominated even the entertainment industry.
Oh my God, that will dominate.
If we say the empire wants them and we don't dominate in the area of sports, a time is going to come that our sports will be linked with something which is not godly.
I will dominate.
I am telling you,
I will dominate.
I will dominate. Kings and queens dominate.
My God.
If you don't dominate in the educational sector, unbelievers will be there. And when they are there, they will put in a lot of things that will go against the word of God. Now we have a whole lot of things. Last year, Ghana was fighting about one thing that the educational sector wanted to place, wanted to bring. And this was going to expose our case to a whole lot of troubles. If Christians don't dominate, things will take us by surprise.
My God.
We need to take our rightful positions. We need to take our rightful place. We need to dominate. We need to dominate. We need to dominate.
I will dominate.
My case will dominate.
My God.
My family, we will dominate. My family, we will dominate.
My God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will dominate.
We will dominate. Yes. My God. I need to dominate.
Do you know that? That. In the movie industry, there is a sector that believes in certain sexuality. That even as you do your movie, you come to them, at least let one scene or two scenes be depicting that lesbianism and gayism is okay, and it will give you this money.
My God.
So, Have you considered every movie you have one or two scenes that depict that, oh, it's normal. It's who you are. You can't change your identity. So as people watch them, the person who is growing and is having such an ungodly feeling will know that, oh, this thing is normal. To be a gay and to be a lesbian is normal. Why? Because the people there are dominating.
My God.
They are dominating. They are dominating. They are placing in more money, placing in more wealth, placing in more ideas. May you dominate.
Amen.
May you dominate.
Amen.
May you dominate.
Amen.
May you dominate.
Amen. My God, I will dominate.
You
are preaching good.
Amen. Amen. If God give you one place, one room, dominate.
My God.
If God give you two rooms, dominate.
My God.
If God give you a house, dominate.
Dominate.
If God give you an area, dominate.
I'll dominate.
If God give you a region, dominate.
I'll dominate.
If God give you a political position, dominate.
I'll dominate.
If God give you a hall, dominate.
I'll dominate.
If God give you a church, dominate.
I'll dominate.
Hey!
I'll
dominate.
Dominate.
My God.
Jesus.
Let's go to the second thing. That is the hearts of kings.
My God.
The hearts of kings.
The hearts of kings.
First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. In First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. First Kings chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says that, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart. And what? Largeness of heart. And what? Largeness of heart. Like the sand on the seashore. Solomon had largeness of heart.
My God.
One unique ethic or true kings, one unique characteristic of a true king from the Lord is the largeness of heart.
Okay.
As a king, you must have a very large heart. God gave King Solomon not only wisdom and wealth, and not only exceedingly great understanding, but God also gave Solomon the largeness of heart. A very large heart.
My God.
What does largeness of heart mean? Listen, Note that the Bible did not say that God gave Solomon largeness of head, but largeness of heart. Largeness of head may mean maybe intellectual capability. But this one, he says that God gave Solomon largeness of the heart.
Okay.
Of the heart.
Of the heart.
Of the heart.
Of the heart.
What does largeness of heart mean?
My God.
Largeness of heart. What does it mean? So, to have a very large heart means to have a very big heart and a big soul. It has to do with a very large capacity and generosity. It means that as a king, you are capable of becoming generous to more people. The more generous you have, the more you can say that your heart is large. So kings are generous, queens are generous. I remember a time that Nehemiah said that he woke up in the morning, and the Bible says that the face of Nehemiah was cast down. And when Nehemiah appeared before the king to serve the king, the Bible says that the king with the queen sitting by his side, and the king asked Nehemiah, why is it that your face is down? And Nehemiah says that, why won't my face be down when the city of my birth is in ruins and its wall is broken down?
My God.
The Bible says that the king with the queen sitting by the side of Nehemiah said, what is it that you need? Tell me, what is it that you need and how do you need them? That shows a king with a large heart. A king who is generous. You know, God creates kings to be generous so that you can have impact on more people. So when you meet any king in every angle, you see that people are drawn to him. He's doing good to people. He gives to people. He feeds people. That is how kings are. They have largeness of heart. They are able to accept people with their faults, their mistakes, with their trials and their weakness, from any sphere, from any tribe. Kings are able to relate with them because he's a king and he's created to have a heart.
Kings and queens.
You see, the more your heart is good, the more your heart is large, you are able to draw and receive more from God. You receive more from God. You see, you are not a king when your sphere of influence is not touching anybody. It means that you are not enlarging your generosity to other people. Kings do that. Kings are able to pick one person, get the person to his side or her side as a king, and lift a person from loneliness to a place of power. Esther was walking one day as just a fugitive, as just a slave, but a king was able to pick him one day into the corridors of power.
My God.
The Bible says Daniel and his friends, a lot of people entered a land, and as they entered a land, by their ability to learn, they were different from their peers. And the king sought them out by the ability to learn. So by the end of the day, even though they entered as slaves, because of their ability to learn and because of a king's largeness of heart, they became prominent people.
My God.
On a foreign land. It is so in computer world, in computer terminology. You can only download fast and much more if your this one, your memory is large. We should pray one prayer,
Yeah.
And whenever you wake up, one prayer should pray that, oh God, enlarge, and increase
my
spiritual
capacity
and my spiritual
heart.
You need your spiritual heart to be enlarged. In that order and in that sense, you can be able to extend hand to people around you. That makes you a king. That makes you a king. That makes you a king. Amen, Augustus. You remember in a typical example and an indication of a king who is so unkind and is having a very small heart is Rehoboam. Israel rebelled against their king, who is Rehoboam, because Rehoboam refused to listen to his people and to extend generosity to his people. The people came to Rehoboam and they said, your father gave us, your father was a good man, but the taxes we were paying were so large. In your capacity as our king,
likeness of
heart. Exactly. In your capacity as your king, just look at your heart and reduce our taxes for us. But the guy did not listen. He went to small boys for them to advise him, and then he came back, he came to say frivolous things, very very frivolous. He said that if my father was shipping you, I'm not just going to ship you with this thread, I will ship you with scorpions. I will increase your tax them all.
My God.
A typical indication of a king, a typical indication of a king. Winifred, you are welcome. With a very small heart. You see, your longevity as a king will be determined by your heart.
Okay.
Your longevity as a king will be determined by your heart. If God gives you a whole territory and you demonstrate rigidity of heart, your longevity will be small.
My God.
If God give you a whole territory and you demonstrate and you depict rigidity of heart, your heart is changing. You don't listen to people. In your own capacity as a king, you don't demonstrate generosity. You are not generous to the people around you. Your longevity will be small. Do not live long. The Bible says that before long, all Israel gathered, portion of Israel gathered. They said, okay, this our king has a very small heart. They called another man called Jeroboam. Say, Jeroboam, be king over us, because we have surveyed you and you have seen that you have a large heart.
My God.
You are not as wicked as Rehoboam, who not listen to us, who is having a very small heart. If God give you any territory, a political territory,
speak to
a sports territory,
God.
A ministry, if God give you every place where you find yourself, your workplace, a leader, and you cease to be generous to people in your own capacity as a king or a queen, there, a time is going to come, they will demote you. And it happens in our political cycles. We see leaders who come on and they cease to say, for us we are dead goats, for us we are this, for us we are that, we are that. The people will cut you short because they've surveyed your heart and they've seen that, oh, you're not, your heart is small. Your heart is small. So go and come back. Go and learn how to have large heart. So if you have large heart, they'll call you back again. I pray that you don't lose your territory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that you don't lose your territory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know that do you know something? Do you know something?
No.
Do you know something?
No.
Do you know something?
No.
Do you know something? I like your response. Tell us. Do you know something? My God. The larger the size of your heart, the weightier you are. The larger the size of your heart, the weightier you are. I've come to prove it.
Okay.
I'm coming to prove it. If you have a very large heart, you are weightier. You are weightier. Do you remember King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, after the death of his father? The Bible says that this guy's heart grew sore. Then he became so proud. He thought that pride is going to increase, or pride is going to make him weightier. So he started to drink from the golden cup and the goblets and the instrument and the tools from the Israelites that they had gone to seize. The Bible says that as he gave a banquet, as he was drinking and enjoying and dancing, the Bible says the hand of the Lord, an inscription came, and the hand started to write. He wrote, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pasen.
My God.
The hand wrote, Mene. I'm coming to explain Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pasen.
My God. Yeah.
The hand began to write, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pasen. Mene means God has numbered your days of your reign and brought it to an end. It means that one, as I began to say, that the largeness of your heart will determine your longevity. So God just told him, Mene, God has numbered your days of your reign and God has brought it to an end. So it was too Mene, Mene. It means that for his time has been cut short. His reign is cut short. His dominion is coming to an end because of his a very small heart that he possessed. Tekel means that you have been weighed on a scale and you have found wanting. Tekel means that you have been what? Weighed on a scale. There is a spiritual scale that if your heart is not large and you are placed on as a king, you'll be found wanting. You'll be found wanting. It says that you have been weighed on a scale. Which scale? I'm sure there is a scale in the spiritual realm. God weighs you as you are moving, you are going, you are coming. God is weighing your heart. Say, oh, this is a very small heart. He cannot rule. This is a very small heart. I should cut his reign short. This is a very small heart. He cannot sustain this rule and this rulership. He must come down. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pasen.
My God, what's the way?
Pasen means that your kingdom is divided and is given to Medes and the Persians. Somebody say, oh God,
oh God,
enlarge my heart,
enlarge my heart.
Oh God,
oh God,
enlarge my heart,
enlarge my heart.
Oh God,
oh God,
enlarge my heart,
enlarge my heart.
Oh God,
oh God,
enlarge my heart,
enlarge my heart. Glory, glory.
The Bible says that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, he was slain, and Darius from Medes, the kingdom of Medes, took over. That very night.
My God.
Because his heart was small. And when he was weighed on the scale, he was found wanting. Let me ask you, if God weighs you right now,
my God,
are you 50 kilograms?
Hey.
Or 10 kilograms?
My God.
Or 2 grams?
Yes.
Or 1,000 grams?
God.
Choose your weight. Choose your weight. How generous are you to people? In your capacity as a leader, in your capacity as kings, how generous are you to people? Kings needs to have a heart that is filled with love, the love of God, Hallelujah. Do you know something? Because if you are a king, you are elevated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are a king, you are elevated.
I know.
You are in the position of authority and of power. So if you don't have a large heart, if you don't have a large heart, you would use your position and your power wrongly. But the love of God governs the temper and governs the application of such a power and such an authority. I pray for somebody now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for somebody now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. May God give you a large heart.
Amen.
May God give you a large heart.
Amen.
May God give you a large heart.
Amen.
Love helps you to provide a balance and curtails abuse of authority.
Yes,
love curtails abuse of authority. So if you don't have love in your heart, if you are not generous to people, the authority that God has given you, you abuse it. So any person who becomes wicked, God himself is bound to destroy such a vessel, because you can influence people wrongly, you can kill people wrongly. So your days is cut short, so that you don't misuse the authority, the power that God has given you. There were people that were called into prophetic abilities, into a prophetic ministry. There were people that were called into an apostolic ministry. There were people who were having big and huge ministries, but God brought them down. Because the time came that their hearts, instead of growing large, became so small. And as God weighed them on the scale, they were found wanting. And whenever God weighs you on the scale and you are found wanting, you are coming down. And down they came. I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus.
Man.
I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for somebody in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I pray for somebody
Man.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I pray for somebody
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Man.
May you have,
yes,
may you have,
yes,
may you have,
yes, Lord.
May you have,
yes, Lord.
May you have
yes, Lord.
A large heart.
Yes,
may God enlarge
yes,
your heart.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. See, the next generation of believers who rise up, we are rising up with all this wisdom in our heads. So when the day we finally reach the level of a king and a queen, you will know how to apply it effectively.
Kings
and queens. Let's go to the third one for the day. The visions of kings and queens. The visions of kings and queens. The visions of kings and queens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Visions means the ability to see, to sight or eyesight something that you imagine, a picture that you see in your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your ability to see far is vision. Your ability to have a mental picture of something that is not real is your vision.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Proverbs 29 verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish.
My God.
Visions are with leaders. Visions are with kings and queens. So the misleading of a king and a queen means misleading of thousands and millions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that is why the enemy is fighting leaders like that. That is why the enemy is fighting people like that. Because you are a king, you are a queen. If you are misled, you lead thousands, millions into the drain and into anarchy. There are a lot of people, there are millions that are struggling today because one person who refused to have a vision.
My
long, long time. That there can be a whole continent, and the whole continent is struggling because our leaders lack vision. Did not have vision. There was no vision for them. My God.
My God.
The Bible says in Psalm 18 verse 33 that he set me on high places. You know, there are high places. There are people in high places. There are people that God intentionally, by the orchestration of nature, they are at high places. And people design their life by looking at people from the top. People design their life by looking at people at the top. So if people at the top have no vision, everybody who designs their life after such a person, who tailors their destiny after such a person, will also end up in anarchy. That is why kings must be able to perceive and visage things, so that people in lower positions are able to grasp and comprehend and follow.
My God. Work it out.
When God places you at a position, you must have strong vision. The stronger your vision, the more the people who follows you, the more their life is in safety. The stronger the vision of the king, the stronger the vision of the leader, the stronger the vision of the queen, the more safe the lifestyle of the followers. So if you have a leader, if you have a king or a queen who lacks vision, every person that follows such a person, every person that follows such an individual, every person that follows such an individual is not safe. It's not safe. It's not safe. Because the person who leads them lacks vision. That is why the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people will perish. The Bible did not just say the leader, the people. The people will perish. It is only a leader that can see a mountain. As he looks at the mountain, he says, "Oh, there will be road in this mountain."
My God.
Then he calls constructors, make road through this mountain.
Vision.
My
God.
Vision. Everything that people call blockades, what people call no way, a leader, a king and a queen sits down and say, "There is a way here. Cut it. Break it. Make way." People look at sea, but there was someone, there will be one special person who stand on the sea and say, "There can be a bridge. There is a way here." Once he does that, all the people that follows are in safety. There were generations ahead that could not rise to such knowledge, and they are perishing. I don't want to mention any continent, but we know.
My God, mercy.
We know. Kings.
Queens. My God, what a message.
What are you planning to achieve in the next 15 years? What are you planning? Where are you planning to go in the next 20 years? The next 20 years, where do you see yourself? And What is the map to your next 10 years? Your next 5 years? Your next 20 years? Some people don't even have a map to their tomorrow. If you are not a person of vision, I'm sorry to say that count yourself out from the next generation of impactors. Count yourself out from the next generation of impactors. Because if you are not a person of vision, you cannot impact. Nothing has much power for affecting your future as your ability to have a vision. Nothing. Because the tomorrow is not here. The only thing that can affect your tomorrow is your ability to have a vision. Your ability to have a vision.
Vision.
You know, the competition today is between men. The competition today is between human beings. The battle of tomorrow is between ideas.
Wow.
And those who are with vision will only survive.
My God.
Today, people are competing, but tomorrow will not be, because we have not been there. If we get there, then we compete as people. But when once we are not there, the only thing that we can be able to have advantage is our vision. Our brains, our mind, our imaginations. The battle of tomorrow is between ideas. And those with vision can only survive. You will need money to trade and buy today. You will need money to trade and buy today. You may not need you may not be born into a family of elites. Meaning you may not be able to buy today. But listen, you don't need money. To have a vision. You don't need money to have vision. You don't need money to have vision. That is why you have no excuse. You have no excuse that tomorrow is for the people who have it now. Don't say I don't have now. So tomorrow we are lying. Because tomorrow, the competition is not between flesh and blood. The competition is between ideas. People with vision will survive tomorrow. You may not be created into a family where people have, but listen, we are not created into people to a family where we have things and we have stuff. But because of our ability to have vision, we will survive tomorrow.
Amen.
We will survive tomorrow.
Amen.
We will survive tomorrow.
Amen.
Because we have the ability.
Yes, Lord.
We have the ability to have a vision.
Vision. My God.
Nothing has much power.
My God.
That it can affect your life. Than your ability or the vision. Nothing has much power to affect your future than your ability to have a vision. Today, in now, presently, a vision cannot affect your present. But
tomorrow,
the only thing that can affect, the thing that can affect your life so much tomorrow is your ability to have vision. God is only permitted to perform it to the extent of your vision. God is only
permitted
to perform it,
my God,
to the extent of your vision.
My God.
The more vision you have, the more you permit God to come through for you. So if your vision is low tomorrow, God cannot perform more. No.
Less
No. That is why your circle, when you are drawing your sphere of influence, in your vision, make it big. Make it big. Make it big. As you place in that effort, God will even exceed your imaginations.
Man.
If you don't have a vision tomorrow, God cannot perform anything for you. The Bible says, and God will do exceedingly, above, exceedingly, abundantly, above what we can think. So if you can't think, God cannot do it.
Mystery.
He says, God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can think or ask or imagine. So if you are not thinking, if you are not asking, if you are not imagining, that is vision. God cannot come in. That is why I'm saying that God is only permitted to the extent of your visions. God is only permitted to perform it to the extent of your vision. May I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Have vision. I'll have vision. I'll have vision. I'll have vision. I'll have vision.
Whenever
we say vision, more religious people think that, oh, me son da ena me nya vision. It's good. It's good. But most of them, trust me, most of them will not go anywhere. Most of the vision that you say, me nya vision, it doesn't go anywhere. The vision is about tomorrow. I'll have a vision. I have a vision.
I
have a vision. I have a vision. We have a lot of Christians when they talk. This is let me not say this. It's not everybody who can take what I was about to say. Let me pause.
Which is that?
Do you know that there are a lot of Christians? I've watched this. A lot of Christians there. The more people are close to you and then you ask them questions and they say, oh, the Lord says. It is a clear indication that a person will not achieve much.
Break it down, sir.
It is an indication. Anybody who attributes everything to God is an indication that the person will not achieve much. Paul said, for I planted, Apollos watered, God gave increase. Man did 2/3 of the work. God only did 1/3 of the work. It means 2/3 of the work is with your thinking. Your thinking, your asking, your imagination. He only comes in to do above your thinking, your imagination. He only comes in after you have planted and you have watered. His is to give increase. So when you see believers, everything they are doing, it means they are not doing anything. And if you're not doing anything, God is not, oh my God.
My God
cannot do it for you. So who see any banana the bia or the baby at me so a clear indication say on uncle baby. Because he has not picked up responsibility. That is why Africa is poor. Because this is it. If this person has the revelation that you only does 33% of the work and the 66 is with men, the person will sit up and do something. The person will sit up and do something. That God only does 33% of the work. 66 is with men. 66 is with men.
My God. You are firing a shot.
You are talking to me, sir.
I'm talking to you. If you don't start sitting down and planning towards the future and for the future generation, you'll be sad. You'll be sad. You'll be sad.
The future.
Sit down. All memorable achievement was brought by kings who had vision. All memorable achievement was brought by kings who had vision. God, you know, God uses visions to excite leaders. Hey, leaders, God uses visions to excite leaders. He in chemistry we have ground state, we have excited state. So when you are the ground state, what God does is that He excites you with visions. So leaders are with visions. Oh God.
My God.
Oh God. Let a king grasp a godly vision and watch God come and watch God work on it. Let a queen have a godly vision and watch God move in might and come and work for the person. Be married to God's vision for the future and for your life. Be married. Do you know marriage?
Married.
When people ask you, are you married? You say, I'm married. But there is no ring on your hand. You say, yes, I am married to God's vision for my life and for the next generation.
My God.
Thank you, sir.
Married,
I am married with God's vision.
People look at you, they watch your hands, but there's no ring on your hands, and you are saying you are married. Say, I am married to God's vision
for my life
and for the future.
It
means that God's vision, menina is intertwined. I have become part, I have become twined, I have become glued, I have become closed up, I have become connected with God's vision for my life and
for the future.
Dr. Martin Luther King says that I have a dream. And today we remember him because of a vision and a dream he had. What is your dream? Where is your vision? Where is your vision? And where is your dream? Where is your vision? Where is your dream? I pray for somebody.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I pray for somebody.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. May you have a dream.
Amen.
May you have a vision.
Amen.
May you have a dream.
Amen.
Put pen and paper down. Circle tomorrow. And what God has for you. That shows that you are going far. Have vision. Have vision. Put pen on paper.
Okay.
Put pen on paper. The Bible says, jot the vision down. Write it on scrolls. Write it. Oh God. Set your buttons down and write the vision. Write the vision. Write the vision. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. It means that the work, if you did fraction in primary school, which everybody did, it means that it is three, right?
Yes.
Three. When you are doing the pie chart, God's portion is 1/3. Man's portion is 2/3. It means that man's portion is greater than God's portion. It means that God performs 33.333%. Man performs 66.6666%. What is your vision? What? And the Bible says, for God will do exceedingly abundantly above what you can think, ask, or imagine. What are you thinking? What are you asking? What are you imagining? If you can't think, God will not do exceedingly for you. If you can't imagine, God cannot do for you. If you can't ask, God will not do for you. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
What is your thoughts?
My God.
Do you have a plan for tomorrow? Do you have a vision for next 10 years?
Speak to me, sir.
Do you have a vision for next 10 years? What do you wish? You know, the issue is that there are a lot of people that knows their end product but don't have map to their end product. I want to be a great man in future. What about the roadmap? What about the roadmap? What do you need to study? Where do you need to stay? Who should you be with? Where should you go? Which prayer should you pray? Which book should you read? Which country must you travel to? To be able to get there. If you have vision, all these things are included. It is like entering the science, entering lab. If I enter a biochemical lab, the first thing I do, if I enter, the first thing I do is I write my A. Then my title, my aim, my apparatus. Apparatus means that what I have to be able to achieve the expected end that I wrote as the aim. If you have aim, without lessening your apparatus and without knowing that, and the first thing I write is the introduction procedure. So I write the introduction of my life. I write how I would get to my end. Then I come and write the procedure. A lot of people, sadly, a lot of people know what they want to become, but they don't have a roadmap to how they would become it. Let me pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. As this Kings and Queen series ends, may you have a vision. May you have a vision. May you have a vision. God bless you, Becca. May you have a vision. May you have a vision. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Have vision for your life.
Vision.
Do you know that vision constrains you from walking into the fields that you are not destined to be there? Vision constrains you. It constrains you from walking into the fields that God has not destined for you to be there. There are people that are found everywhere. A clear indication of someone without a vision is someone who is found everywhere. Everywhere. If you see somebody everywhere, it means the person is lacking a vision. Visions are specific. Visions are specific. Visions are specific. And vision will constrain you from going everywhere. In the name of Jesus. This is a month of wisdom. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May you have wisdom. May you have wisdom. In Jesus' name. Do you know something? Our next point, which I've preserved for tomorrow, is the wisdom of kings.
My God.
Tomorrow, you'll be shocked with the things you will say here. Some of the things you will say here, you open your mouth. Because wisdom is the principal thing. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the first thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all thy gettings, get understanding.
My God.
Yeah.
Wisdom is what? The principal thing. In all thy gettings, get understanding. Tomorrow, if you are late, because today we didn't wait for anybody. By 5 minutes, I started preaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we want to cut things short and end with Kings and Queens series. Then we start with 100 things about wisdom, on wisdom that you should know.
My God.
100 things on wisdom that you should know. So come early so that we can go early. As we are ending, let me pray for you. I want you to open your mouth and pray. You are praying, you are telling God, oh God, may I will dominate. Oh God, I would have a large heart. Oh God, I would have vision as a king. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray. 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 Dana Mazini Miyanku. I will dominate. I would have a large heart. I would have vision. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you for listening to this message. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tomorrow we are meeting. We are starting our morning dew. We are, tomorrow we will pray. That is why you pray all these prayers. Tomorrow, that is why you go deeper into our prayers. Morning dew is where all the miracle is coming from. Even before I started this podcast, someone who have a lot of testimonies, I'll share it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Please send me more of your testimonies. More is coming. Someone is having many months of not seeing the menstrual, nothing. Many months by prayer. Morning dew prayers.
My God.
The person has seen it today. Glory to Jesus.
Glory to Jesus.
Testimonies are happening. So please wake up early. Morning dew. The time is 3 a.m. GMT. 3 a.m. GMT. In the United States, it's 11 p.m. G-A. E-S-T. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. Till you meet at till we meet again, don't stop growing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can take my number and contact me. 0544-178-178-498. The Lord bless you. Let's meet tomorrow dawn and let's grow together. Hallelujah. Bye-bye. Let's grow together. Bye-bye. God bless you so much for such a powerful message. Adam, the Lord bless you too. Amen. Let's grow together.